Support for KPLU comes from Carter Subaru, sponsor of KPLU's studio sessions and a steward of the environment by being on the road to carbon neutral. Carter Subaru has planted over 100,000 trees in the Mountains to Sound Greenway. Carter Subaru in Ballard Shoreline and cartersubaru.com. Planting a forest one test drive at a time.
Please welcome a true queen of the blues, Miss Marcia Ball.
Thank you.
Friends, well, the fun begins for a little while. You know we're here on a mission, improving your condition just to see you smile. You can do your hurrying, your fretting and your worrying some other time. Get your head and your heart, your feet all started, and we'll feel so fine. We came to party. Before the sun goes down, we gonna play a little music. Come on, I'll show you how to do it. I kick off your shoes and let's go to town.
Marcia Ball live in our studios with 100 of our favorite friends here from the KPLU Leadership Circle. Great to have them here, too. Thrilled to have you back here,
Thank
Marcia
you
Ball.
So much.
Now, you grew up kind of Louisiana, Texas area. We kind of all know, I think, what Louisiana blues and funk and soul sounds like. What is the Texas blues angle? Where does the Texas
blues?
Is there a Texas blues?
Is T-Bone Walker and Albert Collins and Bobby Bland and Gatemouth Brown. I mean, it's a fabulous, and Johnny and Edgar Winter. It's an incredible, fertile area for music. Lonnie Brooks grew up on the Texas side of the Sabine River down south where I'm from. Mm-hmm. I was born in Orange, Texas because that's where the hospital was, basically. But my hometown and my whole background and my family are all Louisiana, you know, deep Louisiana roots, Cajun culture and everything. So I really have dual citizenship, and I'm proud of it. And then I moved after I was in college for a little while. I joined a band and lived in Baton Rouge for a little while. But then we moved to Austin in 1970, and I've been there ever since. So,
now, you were raised up with a family, everybody playing the piano.
My grandmother played, and my aunt played, and my cousin played. It was the women in that family. And even my great-grandfather was a musician and a composer back in the late 1800s in Lafayette, Louisiana.
But it took you a while to start singing? Is
that
right?
Yeah, I didn't at all. I played piano and, loved to boogie-woogie. And my grandmother and my aunt played popular music. They didn't play classical. They played popular music, ragtime. My grandmother had a wonderful window box full of sheet music, Tin Pan Alley sheet music. Great, all those old melodies. And my aunt played beautiful Gershwin and Rodgers and Hart show tunes. And so it was all of that popular music to listen to. And my cousin and I were always competing to see who could, snag the most of it, pick it up by ear and report back. And look what I can do. So, I came up that way. But not singing.
Now, there wasn't a lot of, schooling for jazz and blues musicians back in the 60s and 70s. If you were going to school for music, it was to lead a band or maybe to sing some opera or teach or something like that.
That's what it seemed to me. It never occurred to me to be a music major. And really, I had stopped my little kiddie piano lessons when I was about 14. So that didn't occur to me. But what was happening, of course, was the late 60s and the whole revolution of what became garage bands, I guess. Mm-hmm. I guess spawned by the Rolling Stones, who we all looked at them and thought, God, if they can do it, we can do it. And that part of the country was soul music. The difference between what they were doing Chicago blues. The Rolling Stones were giving us back our Delta blues.
That's right.
But in my part of the country, the soul bands, we were listening, I guess, to Memphis and the big Houston soul bands. So we had big horns and everything.
Now, you, when you were in Austin, you were playing with a lot of rock bands and country bands. And I wonder how you arrived at your style, how you got back to kind of the New Orleans, Louisiana flavor.
Well, it was a matter of going back to it. I mean, that's what I did. I joined first a rock and roll band in Baton Rouge. Then I joined a band in Austin that was a country band, but we were hippies, and our audience was hippies. And this was another kind of a revolution that took place.
Right.
Now, another case of being in the right place at the right time. Willie Nelson moved back to Austin, and we had this amazing big music hall called the Armadillo World Headquarters. And Willie played there for all the hippies, and he was still short-haired and three-piece suited. And but we knew him. I mean, we all knew who Willie Nelson was. He was a hero to us, and we were playing old country music, too. We just looked different. And the first time he played the Armadillo, the legend is he called Waylon Jennings and said, "You have got to come down here and see what's going on. You're not going to believe this." And so that was a great early 70s. That's what carried me and what I did through the early 70s. It kind of established me in Austin as a player. And then when the band broke up and I began putting my own bands together, I gradually moved away from that. I knew where I was going. I knew I was going back to where a piano player needed to be, where as a Louisiana girl, as somebody who had loved Irma Thomas since I was 13 years old and wanted to play those kinds of songs and write those kinds of songs, I went to back to Louisiana. I guess
we're going
to
talk more with Marsha Ball about songwriting, about the terrific new record, The Tattooed Lady and the Alligator Man, after this next song. What would you like to play for us next, Marsha?
I think I'm going to play the ballad on the ballad on the record that when I was writing it, I envisioned my music friends in Austin, Carolyn Wonderland and Shelley King, singing, and maybe Ruthie Foster, if I could get my girlfriends together. And we do a lot of stuff together. We have all girl bands and a lot of interaction. We have a nonprofit that we have gathered our music business friends and our friends, and it's all women, to help keep some of our older musician friends under a roof.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're together a lot. And so I thought, I'm going to get them to sing this song, and it's called Human Kindness. But I couldn't do it while we were right there. So the next week after we recorded, we all were up in New York and New Jersey. They were on one trip. I was on another. We met up in Woodstock And they and Amy Helm, who's Levon's daughter, sang on this song. And my guitar player last night said, and when I introduce it tonight at the club, I'll say, and the parts of Shelley King, Amy Helm, and Carolyn Wonderland will be played by Eric Bernhardt, who's my sax player, who's going to sing the harmony. But it's called Human Kindness. This world is what we make it every day. We can try to save it or throw it away. And all that separates us are walls we have made. We've got the same dreams. We've got the same plans. We've got to raise our voices up for our fellow man. When we open up our hearts, light comes shining through. Human kindness flows from me and you. We're the same as one another, wherever we are. Sisters and brothers under infinite stars. And children of mothers with babes in our arms. We've got the same eyes. We've got the same hand. We've got to cry for justice all over this land. When we open up our hearts, light comes shining through. Human kindness flows from me and you. When we open up our hearts, the light comes shining through. Human kindness flows, and compassion grows. Only heaven knows how much good we can do. When we open up our hearts, the light comes shining through. Human kindness flows from me and you.
Thank you. Marcia Ball, live in the studios here at KPLU. She's at Jazz Alley tonight with her band. The new record is The Tattooed Lady and The Alligator Man. That was beautiful.
Thank you. Wanted
to talk a little bit about trying to get up for a show. There's a lot of sad faces around town after the Super Bowl last weekend, although it was a great season. You've got quite a reputation for bringing the party when you come out to do a show. But what if you're in a bad mood? What if your team just lost the Super Bowl? Do you have a way to get up for the game?
Well, yeah, and it's usually my bad moods are usually not about football, but I do have them, and I have two things. I mean, because usually it's political, and then first I have to zip my lip and not bring too much of it to the piano. Although I like to write songs that have some political commentary. On the new record, there's one called "The Squeeze Is On," which is a pun because it's about, you know, it's a line: the money's at the top, the buck has stopped. Mm-hmm. We're working harder every day and got too many bills to pay, and so it's about politics, but it's got a real good dance beat. That's the way I like to do it. I like to slip it in there so you're dancing along and you think, oh wow. So that's how I do it, but generally I let it. I do comment sometimes, I've rarely ever played a gig that I could freely say without expecting some kind of backlash what I really think, but I do it anyway. So there are those times. I think the only time I ever actually felt like, okay, I can say anything I want, we played the Kate Wolf Festival up in Northern California. And when you drive up to the thing, and it was already a little after dark when we got there, and there's a 15-foot peace sign lit up and hanging in the tree. So I thought, well, I'll be able to just say anything I want. But bottom line is, no matter how I feel, I might have a cold or something like that, but I always feel better after the gig.
Yeah.
We can be tired. We can be, my guys got stranded in Chicago the other day and barely made it out. So, anything like that. But then we went. We got to Denver. They got there after spending all day in the airport, and we played a 2-hour show in Denver, and they just were like top notch. So, and at the end of it, it's like, hey, man, how about that? We did it.
Marcia Ball's here with us. The new record, The Tattooed Lady and The Alligator Man, almost all new compositions, your own songs,
yes.
Except for a terrific Hank Ballard cover. He's
yes.
the one. Do you feel like songwriting is getting easier for you, or did you just have a lot to say with this album?
I'm surprised at this point in my life that I have anything to say, and I'm happy about that. A lot of times you think people do their best work, and they're in their 20s. I mean, novelists, and a lot of times, and they just taper off, and I just feel like it's more fun now, and I can always put together something, and it's really the most gratifying part of the whole thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
I love to play live. And I want to say something else. Last night at Jazz Alley, at the end of the night, one of the staff came over to me and he said, you have the nicest crowd. I said, it must be, I guess y'all are a nice band because you just have the nicest crowd. And I thought, it's true. I know that.
The new album last fall, Tattooed Lady and the Alligator Man, there's a great title song about carnival life. Did you see some good traveling carnivals growing up when you were a kid?
Oh, yeah, and I feel like my life is a traveling carnival. That was the way it actually came to be. And the image came into my head, and I love that kind of stuff. You know, we love roadside attractions. And that was the last record, was all about roadside attractions. And I will pull over. I will break for a snake farm. So,
there's a great snake farm out on Highway 2, but it's right next to a barbecue joint, which makes me nervous.
Oh, man, yeah.
There's something going on there.
Tastes like chicken.
Marcia Ball's live in the studio. She's got one more song with us here this afternoon.
Well, I'll do The Tattooed Lady.
Terrific.
And The Alligator Man. And the image that came to me, of these two people, at first I thought, this is, they're not unlike all of us anyway. It's really kind of a love song. And a little family story, and they're just a little bit unusual looking. And then you look around at any given room, and you think,
yep.
Well, yeah. Well, a tattooed lady and the alligator man living in a trailer in the promised land. In the summertime, they hit the road. They're the main attraction in a traveling show, playing every carnival across the land. The tattooed lady and the alligator man, she dances the hoochie coochie coo, and he crawls on his belly like a crocodile too. And for a grand finale, they climb 2x2 to a spot way up in the sky, and when the spotlight hits them, they fly. Tattooed lady and the alligator man. Well, she always knew what she wanted to do. She was just 18, she got her first tattoo. Was a little green gator with a smiling face. She put that critter in a private place. She said, don't you know that's just a start? She turned herself into a work of art. Midway sideshow, hot as blazes, one standout in a thousand faces. With something about him she recognized, he was rough around the edges, familiar smile. She said, I know him, he knows me, I feel the pull of my destiny. And now she dances the hoochie-coochie-coo, and he crawls on his belly like a crocodile do. For a grand finale,
climb 2x2 to a spot way up in the sky. And when the spotlight hits them, they fly. And when they land, the crowd goes wild and they clap their hands, yeah, for the tattooed lady and the alligator man. Tattooed lady.